We are gathered here today to find comfort from the Word of God and the God of the Word upon the death of your dear wife, your mother, your grandmother, and our friend, our late sister, Jenny DeYoung. Let us be comforted from the Word of God today. And we begin this service by confessing that our help is in the name of the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ through the communion of the Holy Spirit. We begin by reading from Lord's Day 1 at the request of your dear wife. What is your only comfort in life and death? We answer that I am not my own, but belong with body and soul both in life and death to my faithful Savior Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood and has set me free from all the power of the devil. He also preserves me in such a way that without the will of my Heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head. Indeed, all things must work together for my salvation. Therefore, by his Holy Spirit, he also assures me of eternal life and makes me heartily willing and ready from now on to live for him. And that was a confession of your dear loved one. Let's come before the Lord in prayer. O gracious God and Father, we come into your holy presence on this particular day, the day in which we give our final goodbyes to our dear sister Jenny DeYoung. And we acknowledge your fatherly goodness to her throughout her life, that while her life was not without difficulties, particularly in the last few years, that yet you sustained her by your grace and through your word, and she came to know the living Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that she was able to confess from her heart that she was not her own, but belonged with body and soul in life and in death to you, O Lord Jesus Christ. What a glorious truth it is that her sins have fully been paid for by the blood, by the precious blood of the Lamb of God, and that thereby she was forgiven of all of her sins. Her sins were atoned for by the shedding of the blood of the Lamb of God. And so she has entered into your eternal presence, that the day of her death was the best day of her life here on earth, because it was on that day that she entered into your eternal presence, that she heard the blessed words from the Savior, "Today you shall be with me in paradise," and she was. Lord, how gracious you are towards sinners. We realize that you are the God of all comfort this day. For while she has gained pleasures forevermore at your right hand, yet we mourn. We weep in the face of death. For we know that death has come about because of man's fall into sin. And we were not created to die, but we were created to live. But when we die in Christ Jesus, and we shall live forever. What a glorious truth this is, and how the gospel has never been more relevant than it is at the side of a graveside. The gospel is more relevant this day as we consider the rich blessings that come to those who die in Christ. And Lord, we pray that you would comfort us with this same gospel message, that we would live in Christ and die in Christ and so be raised in Christ and live with Christ for all eternity. Bless your word to us to that end this day, that we would know of this same eternal comfort of belonging to Jesus Christ, our Savior. And we pray it in His blessed name. Amen. We turn in our song sheets and we sing, "And Can It Be That I Should Gain?" And Can It Be, 248 in your song sheets. Congregation, we turn in our Bibles this morning at the request of your wife and your mother and your grandmother to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John 4. We will read from verse 7. A little bit more than your program lists. And we'll read to the end. It's only two extra verses to verse 21. 1 John 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. He that loves not knows not God, for God is love. In this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwells in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love, and he that dwells in love dwells in God and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. We love Him because He first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he that loves not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loves God loves his brother also. Dear Hank, children, grandchildren, family, friends, congregation, we are here for a few moments to reflect upon the words which were chosen by our dear sister Jenny DeYoung from 1 John 4 verse 19, where we read simply, we love him, referring to God, because he first loved us. Today we are gathered here together for the funeral service of your loved one, our late Jenny DeYoung. While her life has not always been easy, particularly in the latter years, it's clear that the Lord's hand has guided her throughout her pilgrim days. She passed away after a battle with various illnesses, and we might say the Lord took her. She's been promoted to that place of eternal peace and rest, that which she longed for, enjoying pleasures forevermore at the right hand of God. Her faith in God was steadfast in her nearly 87 years, and she died peacefully in her home on March the 24th, 2014, while hearing the words of one of her favorite hymns, which we'll sing as well, sung by her daughters. Well, I didn't know your wife real well. The few words I had with her, she most certainly spoke clearly of her love for the Lord and her longing for heaven, which has now been given to her. She's arranged all things well, and I guess that's her character, including her request, as she puts it in her note, for a short, understandable message. I trust that will be so. From 1 John 4, verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. In a sense, that text communicates what she truly felt, what she truly valued, what she really considered most important in life. And by this text, she is in that sense testifying to us today of her love, isn't she, for the Lord. but also reminding us that it was only through the grace and the mercy of God who first loved her that she loved him. And although she speaks no longer, the text reminds us of that grace by which she lived and the same grace in which she died. It was well chosen, wasn't it? Few words. But really it succinctly summarizes the entire gospel message. You see, the Bible addresses many different issues, doesn't it? It describes our sinfulness. It gives us certain direction in morality. It speaks of our responsibility. It gives us counsel for our families. It contains many words of wisdom. But the main theme of the whole of the Bible is the love of God for sinners. That's shown in the redemption that He's provided in His Son, Jesus Christ. Similarly, the Lord has many attributes. We may speak of His holiness, His justice, His righteousness, His immutability. We might speak of many different attributes of God, and every one of them are of the core of His essence. But supremely, the Word of God tells us what? That God is love. That's the primary theme of all gospel preaching, isn't it? John reminded us of that in verse 8 when he says simply, God is love. Doesn't speak that way of other attributes, does it? But the very essence of God, the very essential nature of God is that He's love. And God's love is the reason behind the gospel. As we're reminded in that well-known verse in John's Gospel, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God's love is the motivation for the preaching of the Gospel. For the love of Christ, Paul says, compels me to preach the Gospel. God's love is ultimately what abides forever, above faith, above hope, above all things. We might also say that love is the greatest need and the greatest longing of every human heart. To love and to express love is the most satisfying and fulfilling experience in the world. Love is the theme of more songs, more plays, more books, more poetry, more films than any other human experience, even in the secular world. We long to love and we long to be loved. It's something which completes us. It's something which satisfies us. It's something which excites us and thrills us. Why else do we have such popular songs which, I want to know what love is. I want you to show me. I want to feel what love is. I want you to show me. But what makes Christianity unique is the love of God for hell deserving sinners. You see, the love of God is unique in this sense that He loves those who have rebelled against His grace. He loves those who are enemies of His goodness, haters of His gospel, despisers of His grace. That's what makes the love of God. We all understand how easy it is to love someone who is lovable. But to love someone who's not so lovable is an entirely different thing, isn't it? But this love of God is the love of God for sinners. And this is love. That we, not that we love God, but that He loved us. So this is how we learn what love is. We love Him because He first loved us. You see, you can't really know love if we don't know the love of God. When we speak of knowing God's love, we are not just thinking about knowing about God's love. Because when we speak about knowing God's love, we are referring to this intimate experience of God's love. You understand what I mean by that, don't you? You know, I might say to you, I know Stephen Harper. And you might say, well, do you really know him? Well, I know him. In the sense, I know what's reported about him. I know what he looks like. I know some of his policies. I know what he thinks like. But if I tell you I know my wife, as Hank knew his wife, that's an entirely different thing, isn't it? To know one's wife in the right way is something which is intimate, isn't it? It's special. It's close. It's precious. It's a totally different kind of knowledge, isn't it? And to know the love of God, we're referring here to knowing something of the love of God for oneself. And that's how your wife, how your mom, how your grandmother, your friend, that's how she knew the love of God. She says, I love Him because He first loved me. And that's where John begins, you see. He begins with the love of God for sinners. He says that God is the one who first loved. Your loved one knew of her, that her love for God was only rooted in God's love for her, that He had shown to her in Christ. You see, being loved by God, that's overwhelming, really. It obviously was overwhelming to your wife and to your mom and grandmother. Because anyone who knows the love of God knows that there's no reason in oneself why the Lord would look upon us. We can be realistic about this, can't we? That we know it's only because of God's love that we love. And so John is asking in this chapter, how can we know the love of God for us? Or how can we know the God of love? Well, it's not because we loved Him, but because He loved us. You see, the love of God is ultimately and supremely and gloriously displayed. How? In the giving of His Son, Jesus Christ, for sinners. In this, the love of God was manifest towards us, that God sent His only begotten Son into the world. And then we know something of this sacrificial nature of the love of God, to give one Son for sinful, rebellious sinners. And so if you want to know something of God, if you want to know something of the love of God, then don't look at the world. Don't look at yourself, but look at God and how He's manifest His love for sinners by the sending of His only begotten Son. For God so loved that He gave. Why? Maybe that's the biggest question in the world. Why did God have anything to do with creatures who were dead in trespasses and sins, who were rebels, who were hating Him, who were turning against Him, who had turned this world into a desolate wasteland? Why would God look with any favor upon us? Why would He then send His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus, to not only live among us in this sinful, barren world, this broken world, but that God would send His Son to suffer and to die on the cruel cross? Why has He done this? Well, God so loved. You see, God did it because He is love. You see, we are what we are if we're a Christian because God is love and His heart is that of love. And He is unmoved by anything anyone else does. So the purpose of God's love is the redemption of His people. You see, it's one thing to say to someone, I love you. It's quite another to stretch out a hand of love to one who's in darkness, to one who's lost in sin, to one who is in bondage, to one who's afflicted, to reach down to them and to pull them to you. But that's not what God did. He actually came now. He entered into the darkness. He entered into the bondage, you see. He entered into the sin to redeem sinners. That's love. That's the love of God. Not sitting on His throne and merely inviting us to come to Him, but coming to us in the highways and the byways and calling us to come to Him. You see, if you hear all this, how can you remain cold in your love towards God or even in your love towards fellow man? How can we contemplate these things and not be utterly broken about our loveless attitudes? How can we hate anyone as we contemplate such amazing love? How can we look at these things and not believe these things and not feel totally and utterly and completely ashamed of ourselves? How can we not feel terribly unworthy? And then He comes to us and He invites us to come to Him. You see, it's because of the sacrificial death of Christ that the Lord can invite you and invite you to come to Him. Every man, every woman, every boy, every girl who hears this can know this love of God in Christ Jesus as your loved one did. You see, every one of us, without exception, every one of us here, we know, in our own conscience, in our hearts, that we can never, ever stand before a perfect and righteous, holy God in ourselves. We realize that we have been unkind towards others, that there have been occasions when we have acted in hatred, there have been times when we have been dishonest, that there have been occasions when we have not been upright. Maybe you think that's not so serious and say, well, there's no one perfect, is there? But in order to be in the presence of God, you need to be perfect. For your loved one to have entered into the very presence of the Lord Jesus, she needed to be perfect in every way, without any blemish, or she would have been cast out of heaven immediately into hell. Only the perfect can go to heaven. Only the perfect can live with Him, and all others shall perish. So the question is, how can you be perfect? Well, the Bible speaks of forgiveness through Jesus Christ. You see, the Lord Jesus, He died on the cross to pay the price for sin. He came down and He suffered the torments of hell to pay the price for sin. And further, He also earned a perfect righteousness by living a life which was perfect in every regards. And so the question then becomes, well, how can that become mine? How can that become yours? Well, He calls you to come to Him, to confess your sins, and He will forgive your sins. And then His perfect righteousness becomes yours. And then you are perfect in the presence of God. And this is all by coming to the Savior, the Lord Jesus, trusting in Him for salvation. It refers to having faith, we say, in the Lord Jesus Christ. And not to flee to Him is to spurn His love. Not to come to Him is to reject His invitation, which is most unloving. Just think of a woman who receives a dozen roses from her husband. And he comes home from work and he's filled with tenderness and love, and he gives them to his wife and he says, "Dear, I bought these for you, these lovely roses." And she takes them and she throws them away off the table and she throws them into the garbage. Well, that's not merely a rejection of his gift, is it? It's a rejection of the giver. And so to reject the kind invitation of the Lord Jesus to come to Him in faith, it's not only to reject the gift of Christ, the gift of salvation, but it's to reject Him. And those who reject Him, they they shall perish, for they have not the righteousness needed to enter into the presence of God. You see, you can only know the love of God then by coming to Him through the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's meditate on the love of God as revealed in Jesus Christ, His Son. Let us look at in terms of what God has done, what Christ has done. Let us contemplate it until our hearts are so completely overwhelmed and broken that you feel the love of God totally possessing you. When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and poor contempt and all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain thoughts that charm me most, I sacrifice them to His blood. See from His head, His hands and His feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were present far too small, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Amen. Let us sing from our song sheets again. From Psalm 23, the second song in your handout. And we will sing all the stanzas, "The Lord is my shepherd, I'll not want." us pray. Gracious God and Father, the love of that you have shown to us in Jesus Christ is simply astonishing. It is literally out of this world that you would have such love for sinners, that you would have such love that you gave your only begotten Son, not only to come and to dwell among us, but to suffer and to die, to endure the torments of hell, to be the object of the taunting of the wicked one, of the scoffing of the people, that you, O God, who made the heavens and the earth, did give your Son to suffer and to die, and that you, O Lord Jesus Christ, by whom all things were made, that you were the one who endured the mocking, the scoffing, the scorning of the people, not only of the Romans, of the soldiers and of Pilate, but of your own people, your dear people Israel, having been betrayed by Judas Iscariot, having been denied by the Apostle Peter, suffering and dying upon the cross and becoming the one who bore our sin by your death. And Lord, we come to you and we acknowledge your love is simply astonishing to us in this day. To think that our dear loved one was the one who was the object of such love. That you, O Lord Jesus, you became the object of the wrath of God, so that our sister Jenny DeYoung could be the object of your love. And that by faith that she has been granted that righteousness of Christ, and has been taken into your eternal presence, to rejoice with you forever. Love made manifest in your Son, shown in the salvation of your loved one. Lord, we pray that you would apply it to our hearts with your Holy Spirit, that none of us would be those who would remain in our sin, but that we would flee to Christ and find the only comfort, that the only comfort in life and in death is belonging to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Be with us as we go to the cemetery and as we stand before the grave, as we are confronted with the finality of death in this life. We pray that your grace and spirit would give us comfort and bless our brother Hank, as he stands there as well, giving him, O Lord, endurance for the days and weeks and months ahead. Bless us as a family and keep us in your tender care. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We again turn to our song sheet and we sing, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. We will conclude this service with a benediction, and the interment will follow at Hazelwood Cemetery. And after we return from the cemetery, a light lunch will be served here in the church. If you're not able, because of health reasons, to join us at the cemetery, you are welcome to wait here for our return. May the grace of Christ the Savior and the Father's boundless love, with the Holy Spirit's favor, rest upon us from above. Let us sing from the last song in your song sheets, Abide with Me.